Hey, Upper Room Dallas podcasters, thanks for faithfully tuning in week in and week out to our messages. We pray this one encourages you. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus this weekend. It was Easter Sunday, and as is our tradition for almost a decade, we have people share their personal testimonies of how they have encountered the risen Lord. And we heard close to 100 testimonies of people whom the Lord said hello to in their muck and mire and just what he has done. It was beautiful. We are not airing those testimonies, but the message sets up those testimonies. So I preached on the resurrection of Jesus and its importance to the early church, and then Mary's encounter in Matthew 28. So I hope you enjoy and are encouraged. God bless you.
I don't think there's five. Anyways, hey, if you have your Bibles, we got a lot in store tonight. It has been a powerful weekend. This is an Easter tradition. Don't know how many years we've been doing this, but for quite a few. Gosh, I want to say over 10. We give testimony. And typically the Resurrection Sunday message is preached by you. And we've done this all weekend. We've shared probably over 100 testimonies over the course of two services, and we'll probably hear another 50 tonight. And so I'll give you instructions on how we're going to do that, but I want to tee it up a little bit. And so if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 2. It is Resurrection Sunday. This is the most important day of our faith. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. Jesus conquering death, the grave being empty, is central to your faith. Your faith is in what he accomplished for you. Your faith, we sing about it for about 30 minutes. It's not about perfection, performance. It's not about earning. It's about what he's done. It's about the shed blood of Jesus. It's trusting in his work for you. And the resurrection is so significant because it was a man who was alive and he died. And he rose again. He's the only man to ever die, to rise again, and to stay risen. He's still risen right now. Eternally will he be the resurrected one. Still has holes in his hands, holes in his feet. He still bears the marks of death, but he conquered death. And so I want to show you how central the resurrection is in the early church. It's they couldn't get over it. They performed signs and wonders, but it wasn't about the signs and wonders. It was what the signs and wonders testified to his resurrection. It was all unto the resurrection of Jesus. It was never about a person. It was never about a people. It was about the man, Christ Jesus, and what he accomplished for us. And so the first sermon, Acts chapter 2, I didn't do this morning, but it's just on my heart to lead you through a couple of chapters in the book of Acts. And I'm going to point you to this theme over and over and over again. And then we're going to look at the first message that was ever proclaimed by Mary. So Acts chapter 2, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They run to the southern steps in Jerusalem, southern steps of the temple. They go from the upper room to the southern steps, and Peter begins preaching. And we know at least 3,000 people were in an earshot of what he was saying, because 3,000 people were saved, of all nationalities as well. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 29, he points this reality. He says, Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David. So David was kind of the hallmark of biblical leadership. They're looking for the son of David. We talked about that last week. So he's pointing to David, and then he's gonna use David and point to Jesus. But this is what he says about David. Brethren, I confidently may say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection. And it was the resurrection of the Christ, and he would neither be abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And then verse 32 is kind of the thesis of the first sermon ever preached. And this is what Peter says. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses of that fact. Jesus is alive and we are witnesses. This word for witness It's a word you're familiar with in the Greek. The English word that we get from this word witness is martyr. It's martus. So to be a martyr, when we think of martyrdom, we think of one that has given their life for their faith. They wouldn't deny their witness even unto death. And so if you're a believer in Jesus, you're a martus, you're a martyr. You're one who's witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, and you live life in light of that reality. And Peter was saying, hey, listen, this Christ whom you crucified is risen, and we can testify to you that he's risen. Go to the next chapter, Acts chapter 3. Same guy, Peter, walking through the beautiful, I think it was called the gate that was beautiful. Acts chapter 3, they're going to the place of prayer, Peter and John. Verse 4, it says, but Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on this man who was begging, receiving alms. And look at what Peter says. I love this. Peter says in verse 4, look at us. You who are in need, look at us. And he began giving them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Seizing him by the right hand, he raised him to his feet. So this man starts jumping, praising God, starts this big commotion. Verse 11, while this man whose legs were healed was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together. And they were in the portico of Solomon, and they were in full amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to them, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And I love this. And why do you gaze at us? Now, how was this man healed? He was healed because Peter used the same word. He said, fix your gaze on who? Me. And what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Arise and walk. But now everyone's looking at these two men who healed this crippled man, and he's saying, stop looking at us. Why? Because what we did is to point to someone else. Look, verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and the righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact which we are all witnesses of. This was so central to the gospel. It was so central to the early church. The acts that they did, the things that they did, all testified that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Next chapter. You want some more? Yeah. All right, chapter 4. They were arrested. Got them in trouble. Your witness could get you in trouble. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. It's because of the resurrection that healing power flowed through these disciples. It was testifying that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I love verse 13. It says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, your witness will give you confidence to proclaim his resurrection. They understood, verse 13, that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. This is what marked the early disciples. Not that they had just been with him pre-death, but they were walking with him after death because he's alive. I could keep pointing to you. End of verse 4, look at this. This is an early church prayer meeting, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to them was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Abundant grace was upon them because they were testifying that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Listen, this message, it's 2,000 years old, and there have literally been hundreds of millions of people who can testify that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And it's not just because they read scriptures. Scriptures point to that. It's not just because they heard preaching and believed, although preaching and believing is important. It's because they had a personal encounter with the resurrected one. His resurrection has power today because he's still revealing himself as the one who has conquered sin, death, the grave on your behalf. And the witness of the Holy Spirit coming and testifying to your heart, this reality gives you hope. This is the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is that Jesus Christ conquered death, that death does not have the last word, that disease does not have the last word, that divorce does not have the last word, that decisions you made this weekend do not have the last word, that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He who was risen, ascended, was exalted, and now is seated at the right hand of his Father, who is the creator of the universe. And it's a demonstration of his love. It's a demonstration of his kindness. It's a demonstration of his nature. It's a demonstration. He could reveal himself in any way, and he chose to reveal himself through the cross by bearing your sin, by paying your debt, by dying your death so that you could live his life. This is the gospel message, and we never need to tire of it. Go to Matthew chapter 28. This is Resurrection Sunday. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Mary came to the grave at dawn of a Sunday morning after Sabbath. And this will set up our testimony time, because in verse 2, they have this supernatural experience. It's a dramatic experience. It's angelic, it's divine, it's spiritual. They encounter an angel. And the word says that this angel, as he descended, there was an earthquake. The earthquake shook the ground. This angel from heaven rolls away the stone, and the angel sits upon it. And as he's sitting upon the stone, in verse 3, it says his appearance was like lightning. Now, I don't know if that was like a lightning strike or literally a lightning bolt before them, but this is a dramatic scene. These women are looking for Jesus. They're coming to his tomb. I'm assuming they remembered he said, I will resurrect in 3 days. I don't know where the other 12 were or 11 were. I know where one of them was. And his clothing was as white as snow. So lightning, clothing, white as snow. And the Roman guards who were sent there by the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, to guard the tomb, knowing that he said he would come out of the grave in 3 days, they put these guards there. And so the guards are shaking with fear, and they became like dead men. And the angel said to Mary and Mary, the angel said this, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And he gives them, this angel gives them a report. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. You need to know that he's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see, come and look at the place where he was lying. Now, these women most likely laid his body there. We know that they were tending to the body of Jesus. So they had seen probably his body in this place. But he's saying, look, the body's gone. Jesus is not here. He's risen, just as he said he would arise. And then verse 7, from this place of you seeing the empty tomb, having this spiritual, dramatic encounter, here's what I want you to do in verse 7. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen. Go and testify to what you've seen. He's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. You will see him in the Galilee. Now, they were in Jerusalem. The Galilee was on the out, it was away from Jerusalem. It was some distance from Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee. And so he's saying, listen, tell them to go into the Galilee, and there they will see him resurrected. You will see him resurrected. Go, I've told you. And so they left the tomb in verse 8 quickly with fear and great joy. These two emotions hit you when you realize that Jesus Christ is resurrected. Fear and great joy. There's bewilderment. There's this mystery. But there's a solidity. There's a faith that hits your heart. Fear and great joy. I love that the Bible says they left with fear and great joy. And they were running to the disciples. Now, this is all they needed. They had a testimony. They had an encounter. They had a report. This is all that they needed. And even the angels seemed to know something that they did not. Listen, Jesus has gone ahead of you. Go out to the Sea of Galilee where he walked on the water, where he multiplied the fish and bread. He's going to meet you there. You're going to see him there. But something happens, and I think this is so important for us to understand when we think of the resurrected Jesus. Because Jesus himself, and I think it was in his love and in his kindness for Mary and Mary, verse 9 happens. Jesus didn't go to the Galilee. Jesus intercepted those that were running with this report and had this encounter. And in verse 9, it says this, and behold, Jesus met them. And it says, and greeted them. Now, in my NASB, the holiest of Bibles right here, I have a little asterisk, and it says, by greeted them, it says, and Jesus met them, and asterisk, you can read greeted them, but you can go to the side column, and it says, it could also read this, Jesus met them and asterisk said hello. Jesus said hello. Can you imagine? Massive encounter, angel, lightning, white as snow, soldiers fearful like dead men, great joy, bewilderment and fear. You've got a report. And then Jesus just goes, hello. What? A resurrected man. Jesus said hello to them. And the only response, the only right response, this is what we built our community on, the only right response is to fall at his feet and worship him. When he says hello, not that you you heard it on TikTok or even a service like this. I'm grateful for them. These are a means to something greater, and it's you encountering the realities that we're preaching. Yes. Because when he says hello to you in your muck, in your mire, when he says hello to you for the first time, you were in a place where you needed a savior. You were in a place where you needed the resurrected one to come into your life and say, hello, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the gate. I've conquered death, Hades, the grave. Hello, it is me. I've been preaching this and I always hear Adele. Hello, it's me. You know, like, and you see Jesus, like, think of that. Like if you're in bondage tonight to pornography, you need Jesus to say hello to you. Yes. If you're in immorality tonight, if you're in habitual sins, cycles of sin, you're living a life of duplicity, you need Jesus to step into that duplicity and say hello. When he says hello, there's life on those words. There's hope in those words. There's faith that he authors in those words, and it's sourced by the Holy Spirit who resurrected Jesus from the dead. And that same Spirit that resurrected him from the dead, as you make that confession, it comes and lives inside of you. Ha! What does that mean? What does that mean? It means you can eternally forever live with hope. You can live with life, resurrection life. You can live not fearful of death, knowing that when you do die, it's just a door into the eternal realm, because you are living in relationship with one that conquered the death. He's got the keys to death and Hades. You do not need to be afraid. He will eternally be faithful to you, because he won't stop saying hello. He won't stop pursuing you. He won't stop coming after you. He is relentless
in his pursuit of you, knowing that he conquered these things for you. He loves you. He is faithful. He is good. He's got this thing figured out, and he wants you to trust him. He wants you to declare that you're my Lord, that you're my King, that you're my God, and my life is no longer my own. It has been purchased, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. This is New Testament Christianity. It's New Testament Christianity. This reality changes everything. It's not a box that you check. Doesn't matter if you go to church. You will go to church. It's the fruit of your faith, but it's not about church. It's not about services. It's not about, all these things are important, but they need to be unto you connecting to the resurrected one that continues to say hello. Every morning you can hear, hello. I'm still on the throne. I still am alive. I'm still faithful. I'm still good. My mind has not changed. It's still made up. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I am love forever, eternally. I love you. And my love casts out fear. My love is stronger than death. My love changes everything. You change. Me, I don't. I know that things shake. I know that seasons change, but I am eternal. And I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. My mind is made up. My plans for you are made up. You trusting me in this, it's the key. It's the key. Jesus knows that Mary and Mary, isn't there a band, Mary, Mary? I keep thinking of that. So Mary, Mary. They're running with this report. And Jesus in his, I think he just couldn't, oops, shoraba. I think he just couldn't resist. He couldn't resist. You know, he's listening. The angels sent, it says in Psalms 103, I think it's verse 19-ish, it says, angels do the bidding of God's word. So this angel's sent by the word of God. He's fulfilling the plan. And I think Jesus is, you know, listening to it all. They're hearing it. They're bewildered, fear, joyful. They have the report. And I think Jesus couldn't resist just going, psst, hello, hello. And in that moment, these women go from carrying a report that after they encounter him, they actually become the report. And here's what I mean, is because when Mary gets to the disciples that are shut up in the upper room, fearful, scared, she breaks through the doors, and here's what she says. She doesn't talk about the angels. She doesn't talk about the dramatic encounter. She doesn't talk about the lightning. She doesn't talk about the clothes. Doesn't talk about the Roman soldiers. Doesn't talk about the stone being rolled away. Doesn't talk about the grave empty. Here's what she says. It's five words. I have seen the Lord. That was the gospel. I have seen the Lord. I've seen him. I've seen him. I know all the facts. I had a heavenly encounter, but I met the man with fire in his eyes. I met the man with holes in his hands, and I'm here to tell you that he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Like, it's true. You get messed up, man, when you start thinking about it, you get messed up. You get messed up. Something isn't right with those that put their faith in this one and live for him. I just got this hope. I know. I mean, even the disciples, after they heard this, you would think they would be like, what? No. I think it says that they were actually in unbelief, and Jesus walks through the walls. He's like, what's up, boys? You know, like, like, hello. And he breathes upon them, the Holy Spirit. And so here's the truth. In this room, we've got reports. In this room, there's people that have encountered the resurrected one. For me, Abilene, Texas, 1998, Maymester. Eastern Oaks Apartments, apartment 101. I was living in an apartment by myself for the first time.
was probably 20, 21 years old. And I don't know if Jesus himself came into that room, but I know the Holy Spirit did. And I don't know if I audibly heard my voice, but heard a voice, but I thought I did. And it was my name. And it was as if I was hearing my name for the first time, and I knew who it was, and I knew what he was asking for. And I had been at a Christian university, grown up in a church, heard all about Jesus, but something in that moment changed my life forever. And those that know me testify, Michael was different. Wasn't perfect, still not. I'm a broken mess, but I had an encounter. Jesus said hello to me. My religious paradigms and boxes were broken. I knew what he was asking. I didn't know what to do. And all I could tell him is, Jesus, I'll give you tomorrow. I'll entrust myself to you tomorrow. I just went day by day by day. And he started to reveal himself time and time again as the resurrected one in my life. And man, it has been a hard journey. It has been a glorious journey. It has been a beautiful journey. But I am now been walking with him for 27 years. And this reality, it's still sweet, it's still beautiful, it's still the hope of my life and the foundation of all that I am and am building my life upon. And I want to encourage you, if you're just a yearly Easter attender, we're grateful that you're here, but there's so much more. There is so much more.